This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Co-working spaces have suddenly become the taste of the town. Almost every top real estate developer is eyeing this space closely and is trying to tap the startups working in the segment. What's more interesting is that not just smaller firms, but even established enterprises are occupying this space in order to reduce their working capital cost. Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Priyanka Sahai and you're tuned into Setting Sail, our weekly podcast where we get you the country's best known entrepreneurs to tell you the stories by themselves. And without any doubt, our today's topic is the super fast growth of the co-working space in India. And we have with us Nitish Sarda, founder of a young startup in the space, SmartWorks. Thank you so much, Nitish, for taking time out for us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nitish, first and foremost, tell me what has led to the popularity of the space in India?
So you know how shared economy has affected all our lives with things like Uber, with things like Airbnb, with things like Zoom car coming into our lives, and which has made us realize that getting a service provider to come and maintain our space or our assets, actually increase the efficiency of our assets, has really impacted each and every aspect of our life. And I think commercial real estate hasn't seen a lot of innovation for the last 10 decades, and it's been similar. The dealings have always been this similar way on a per square foot basis. I think what has really picked up is people have started accepting a more advanced version of real estate, in which it is not just the real estate but also the services that come with it. And I think co-working is picking up because those services take care of a lot of issues that, you know, traditional real estate does not really solve for our tenants.
Absolutely. And in this case, let me try and understand what are the additional services that not just SmartWorks, but conventionally almost every other co-working startup or company is offering to their clients.
So I think one of the biggest challenges that most of the clients with us face is that, you know, when they're looking at making their own offices, it's a very long and tedious process, right? Takes on an average 9 months for an enterprise client to, from the time that they select that they want to make an office to the time they move in, right? And that's a very long cycle. People don't want to make that effort, right? With us, that cycle shrinks to 30 days. Within 30 days of a client, whether it's a Samsung or a Microsoft, selecting where they want to expand their office, we can deliver an office to them, right? Secondly, it's a completely hassle-free service office for these clients, and their entire office experience is standardized across geographies. The biggest challenge in India that you face today is that there's no builder who has a national presence. In every location, the office experience for even a Microsoft is different in a Bombay compared to a Chennai or a Hyderabad, right? When we go up to these clients, we go with a proposition that we will standardize your office experience across geography. Doesn't matter whether it's a Bombay, whether it's a Hyderabad or a Chennai for you. When you come into a SmartWorks facilities, there are a few things that you'll find in most of our facilities, whether it is our cafes, whether it is our multiple collaboration zones, we've got gyms, we've got creches, we've got gaming areas, and we've got all the other services that you could imagine, which are all direct.
Right, and that's absolutely interesting. And I heard you say that companies like Samsung and a lot of these enterprises, these are not startups who would want like a 10-seater facility, but these are established companies who would have thousands and thousands of employees across multiple locations. So even they are actually shifting their goals and trying to ensure that they take up a lot of these co-working space. How's that shift happening?
So even with these enterprises, one of the challenges that they face is that when it comes to their corporate headquarters, which about 5,000-6,000 people, or their campuses in which 5,000-6,000 people sit, they can have all the facilities possible, right? They can have the gyms, the creches, the collaboration zones, the multiple training areas, all of that can be managed. But when it comes to their regional headquarters with 500-700 people sitting out of it, can they provide the same sort of experience that they're providing in their campuses? Probably not. I think that's where SmartWorks has played a very important role for some of these enterprises, in which we are going back and saying that, all right, your campuses, you're maintaining it well, you've got significant amount of people, economies of scale help you get your costs down. But when there is only 500-600 people, and you can't give all the services, why do you want to deprive those people from the standard services that you give in all your other facilities? Why don't you get them all in into a SmartWorks facilities? And we've got all of these things which are shared with different clients.
Combined together,
and it turns out to be anywhere between 30 to 50% more economical than a traditional office space for you.
Right, 30 to 40% is what you claim.
So between 30 to 50, Samsung, depending on
the
size.
If Samsung would be spending, say, like 100 rupee per employee, the cost should come down to, say, like 75, 70 rupee if it were to take a space at your outlet.
Absolutely.
All right. And how are the investors looking at this space currently? What sort of investor interest? Because if I understand that right, you haven't raised any institutional round so far, which is something quite unheard of. You've raised a debt, and that too from public lenders. How are currently investors looking at the space for you?
So honestly, we in our third year itself, we've been profitable. We've been very focused on our bottom line. For us, raising funds is not just through equity, but also through debt. I think that was the channel that we wanted to explore first. And we also have significant skin in the game ourselves. The founders have invested close to about $20 million into the business and are willing to do more because we believe in the business and we think that this is an opportunity for changing how people look at traditional office spaces.
This is your personal wealth that you've been investing.
Absolutely. And I think we understand we wanted to get the company to a certain level before we go out in the public and raise, because it was very important that we perfect the model which we wanted to continue and scale from there. So I think for now, we're looking at raising debt and equity both going forward. But up till now, we've really just focused on debt.
How much of money would be raised through debt and equity?
So the money requirement, the total requirement would be close to about $40 million, which is going to be a blend of both.
And by when should the round close?
So essentially, this should happen in the next couple of months, in which we get, because we are looking at growing from 2.8 million square foot that we are today across India to about 4.5 million by the end of this financial year.
Okay, so almost doubling of the real estate is what you're looking at.
Absolutely.
But having said that, again, when you'll be raising this round, will that come from public or private lenders, or you will have some room for the venture capital funds which perhaps are eyeing the space pretty closely?
I think this round we would get in venture capital to come in, because this is going to be an equity investment also, because now that we have perfected the model, we have these 350 enterprises who are backing up, who believe us, and the proof of concept for us is there. We think it's the right time for us to scale. And I think that's why we would be open to a venture capital.
And at the same time, can you elaborate for us as to the $20 million that the founders, you said that the company has have invested in the company? Who are, apart from you, what consists of these founders and who are?
So essentially, it's me and my co-founder Harsh Binani.
Okay.
We both started this about two and a half years back. And together we've
contributed the capital. And you do have appetite for more in the coming round if that was an option.
Absolutely, because we believe in the model and we think that this is we think it's a very strong bottom line business and not just a very strong top line business. So for us, valuation is a byproduct. Bottom line is your profitability is what we're targeting.
It's interesting to see that at this point in time, startups as young as yours are talking about valuation not being one of the prime factors, but the bottom line. And on that note, I would like to understand from you, what amount of equity is held by the founders? Is it like completely 100% equity owned?
100% equity owned by the founders.
And going forward, in the next round, in the upcoming round that you're already in talks with investors, what amount of equity is supposed to be diluted? How much have you decided?
So it's typically going to be how Series A usually be, anywhere between the around 20%. That should be the number. But honestly, it depends. We want to grow as much as possible because we see the opportunity in the next couple of years, especially in India, where you have so much of absorption of commercial real estate. So honestly, that's the typical Series A number that you would target.
You know, but for your ask for a Series A is quite large. In India, we haven't seen startups raising somewhere around $40 odd million in a Series A round. So do you think that this amount of equity will suffice for the amount of funding that you're looking at?
I think we've got very solid, you know, numbers to back the asking. We closed last year, we're profitable. In short span of 2 years, we were more than 100 crores in revenue. We've been doubling, tripling in revenue every year. So essentially, we'll close this year north of 300 crores in revenue with a very strong EBITDA margin. So I think that the number really resonates with our ask. So.
And what sort of profitability targets have been lined up? You say that you're already profitable. So out of the 300 crore that you have targeted for this financial year, I would imagine, right? So what sort of profitability is expected?
So EBITDA margins for us would be, you know, we've been growing on EBITDA margins also. Last year, we were at close to about 10%. I think this year, obviously, that number should go up significantly from that.
Okay. You know, this is a very crucial time, especially because we've seen that so many global tech IPO have come down crashing, and companies such as WeWork that have been one of the pioneers in the space has actually underperformed. So what do you think went wrong for WeWork or any of the other tech IPOs in the global market, and how do you think Indian startups can stay away from making such mistakes?
No, honestly, we don't see WeWork as our competition. Obviously, well, the category is the same. We have always been targeting traditional office spaces. So today, even the clients that come to us, we say no more to more clients than we say yes to, because we are actually going after clients who are looking at traditional office spaces, not after clients who are looking at co-working spaces as an option, right? That's why we think in the, while people say there are 400 players, co-working players in India today, we don't think we're competing with a lot of them. We're rather than that, we're competing with the traditional office spaces and the consumer mindset. Having said that, I think what we really want to focus on, obviously I can't talk about other startups, but what we think is very important for one to succeed is to make sure that your business model is solidified in the first couple of years and you show some sort of profitability in order to scale, right? For us, as I said earlier, bottom line is more important than what the top line is and what it resonates in valuation, right? Because if the business is solid enough to start making money in the second to third year, it means that it is scalable to keep doing that.
You know, while it's very interesting to say that you're not competing with any of the existing companies that are there in the market, I would just want to argue that while I agree that, you know, you perhaps your model is not competing, but at the same time, the client base which are there, everyone's vying for that. Everyone's vying for corporate consumers because they know that they are the people who bring hordes of money, especially when companies such as OYO has entered into the space with the acquisition of Innovate that happened earlier this year. Now, I would like to understand from you what is going to be your strategy to compete with the like of an OYO, which we've seen conventionally has been a very aggressive player in the overall real estate market.
I think the footprint that we've been able to create, the advantage that we have had, because we've been in the game earlier, we have over 350 clients. We service almost 3 million square foot, which is the largest homegrown co-working space in India. I think we have an advantage because we already have this customer base, right? For us to sell our 351st client, 352nd client, enterprise client has become much easier. While obviously everyone says that they're going to shift towards enterprise and that's where co-working will move towards, but we've been there for the past 2 years and we've perfected that model. For us to sell it to a 351st client has become much easier. So if I have to break it down, earlier, last year, it used to take us, average deal size used to be anywhere between 100 to 200. This year, that number has gone up to 600 to 700 seats, right? So we are essentially taking, one client is taking up more space than the average size of co-working players center in other for other players. So essentially, we think that scale has really made us one step ahead of anyone else. Who is wanting to or is already there.
Interesting. And what's the price per seat?
The average price across India is close to about 10,000 rupees.
10,000. The maximum limit for that would be?
So in cities like Bombay, it goes up to about 20,000. And on cities like Noida, where we are right now, it'll come down to about 6,500 to 7,000 rupees.
Okay. One quick last question. The 2.8 million square feet that you're talking about houses about 23 outlets in the country. With 4.5, is that number also supposed to be doubling, or these will be rather larger facilities with less number of outlets?
No, so these are definitely going to be larger facilities because we have no more confident on taking up larger spaces now. So that number might go up to about 30, between 32 to 35, depending on which locations we are. We've already sorted out our next 1.5 million in expansion. So that will take the number up to about 30.
And then, will this also include expansion in the tier 2, 3 cities, or you'll broadly want to restrict yourself to the metros?
Honestly, the opportunities in the 9 cities that we are in, 95% of India's office space consumption is within these 9 cities. So we would be growing significantly in these 9 cities, but tier 2 is an aspiration. We will get into cities like Bhubaneswar, Chandigarh, Ahmedabad and Coimbatore. But the sizes of those facilities are not going to be significant. They're going to be 30-40,000 square foot facilities. In the whole scheme of things, it's going to be a small portion of the entire pie.
All right. So broadly, we are going to see that the larger units will only be at the metros, in the metros. And at the same time, there will be some touch points that you'll be having in the smaller cities. But they will be perhaps, again, smaller outlets with less number of seating space, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
All right. So on that note, Nitish, I would really like to thank you and appreciate the fact that you took time out for us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking out the time. Thank you.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app.
So that's all that we have for this episode of Setting Sail. Meanwhile, if you have any comments or queries, you can write down to us. Our email is mcpodcast@nw18.com. Till then, for more news, views and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.